from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, this is Forum. I'm Joshua Johnson, sitting in for Michael Krasny. Going shopping in San Francisco can be a unique experience. Keeping it unique and prosperous is once again fueling a debate over how to reshape the city for the future. On one side are homegrown businesses who want to prevent national chains from crowding them out and making the city less distinctive. On the other are the chain stores, or formula retail, who argue that their presence creates jobs and helps keep San Francisco's economy stable. What kind of San Francisco do you want to live in, work in, and shop in? We'll hear from both sides and take your questions and thoughts. The future of formula retail, next on Forum, after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, this is Forum. Good morning. I'm Joshua Johnson of KQED News, sitting in for Michael Krasny. San Francisco ran Jack Spade out of town. It's not a who so much as a what. Jack Spade, the fashion retailer, wanted to open a new location in the Mission District. But local shops there were so furious at the prospect of this national chain store coming to town that they railed against it until the company gave up. This is just one example of the fight over chain stores, also known as formula retail. Critics say these stores can erode San Francisco's uniqueness. But supporters say the city's laws on formula retail are a hodgepodge of neighborhood idiosyncrasies, desperately in need of uniformity to keep the economy strong. Next week, the city's planning commission will consider new rules, and we will explain the proposals in the hour ahead. And we definitely want your opinions, too. How do we strike the right balance between major retailers and local businesses to preserve San Francisco's economy and its identity? Let's discuss it with San Francisco Supervisor Eric Marr. He represents the Richmond District. He is proposing new rules to govern formula retail in town and joins us by phone today. Supervisor Marr, good morning.
Good morning, Joshua.
Also with us is John Ram, San Francisco's Director of Planning. John, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
John, let's start with you. Please give us a simple definition of formula retail as San Francisco defines it. What is formula retail?
By our definition, formula retail, Joshua, is any business that displays a certain kind of uniformity in its appearance and its design. And as currently defined, has more than 11 stores nationwide.
So basically 12 or more stores nationally that kind of all look, feel, function the same.
That's right.
How much formula retail is in San Francisco right now? Just as a resident, it really doesn't seem like very much in the landscape.
How much you mean in terms of numbers of stores?
Do we have any sense of what proportion of San Francisco's businesses are formula compared to mom and pop shops? Or are there a lot of ways to define that?
I think based on our recent survey, we think it's about 12% of all retail businesses are formula retail.
Now, what is it that the planning department is proposing in terms of these new regulations for formula retail?
Well, based on if I could back up just 1 minute, the voters passed a proposition back in 2006 that would required us to propose certain controls on formula retail. And we took a look at these controls in the last year, and we're looking at the kind of overall numbers, whether the controls are working or not. And what we're proposing basically is some tweaks to the current regulation, making it somewhat more restrictive in some areas and somewhat less restrictive in others. So we're proposing a package of regulations to the Planning Commission next week that would, for example, include stores that have, or companies that have stores internationally as part of the definition, not just in the U.S. And we are also proposing to raise the total number in the definition from 11 to 20, so that it would be more than 20 stores that define a business as formula retail rather than more than 11.
Supervisor Marr, let me talk to you now. How does your proposal perhaps differ from what the planning department is suggesting? In what ways might it be a little different?
Yeah, well, I wanted to start by just saying John Ram and the planning department have done a great job with the economic analysis of formula retail and chain stores. And drawing from that data, it's very valuable for us. But our communities and neighborhood leaders and small business leaders have been very active. 10 years ago, Prop G, which was placed on the ballot with Matt Gonzalez, our former supervisor's leadership and small business leaders, was really about supporting the unique character of San Francisco as the small businesses are the backbone of our economy. Today, we're facing a tremendous economic boom, but it's also leading to much displacement of smaller businesses. I think San Francisco neighborhood leaders have said we don't want our neighborhoods to become strip malls filled with too many chains. And I think our effort has been to really give more neighborhood notice, close loopholes in the existing chain store laws, and to really make it more modern. We're in agreement on about 90% with John Ram and his planning department and really appreciate them. But our approach has been to keep the number of small of chain stores at 12 and above, not to go above that. There's a small percentage that are between 12 and 20 that we're trying to consider the local type chains, like Phil's Coffee, the more localized ones, Super Duper Hamburgers, stuff like that. But right now we're holding strong as a community coalition to strengthen the form of the retail ordinance, not weaken it. And neighborhood notification and closing loopholes like international chains, but also looking at subsidiaries like Jack Spade was what you mentioned earlier. It's owned by Liz Claiborne, and we think that there's enough capacity within the planning department to be able to analyze a business that is trying to fake that they're not a chain when they really are owned by a big chain.
Supervisor, do you feel like your proposal gets a little closer to what the voters approved in 2006 with Prop G than maybe the planning department's proposal does?
Yeah, and part of our coalition include independent bookstores like Green Apple in my district, or our hardware stores that are like a dying breed in some ways because of the chain hardware stores. So, yeah, ours comes from a lot of neighborhood activism, and I think there's some efforts. If we do not pass a stronger form of the retail ordinance, there are some in the communities that feel that putting it to the ballot like we did 10 years ago with a grassroots coalition is what might be necessary.
And talk a little more, if you would, Supervisor, about that issue of maintaining, you know, San Francisco's character and not making this a strip mall city. I mean, I'm from South Florida, which is a place that never met a strip mall it didn't like. And it seems like we are just the etch-a-sketch of real estate. You just shake it every few years and build something else new. Clearly, that is not the kind of San Francisco, I would say more broadly, not the kind of Bay Area, but certainly not the kind of San Francisco that anyone wants to live in.
Yeah, some neighborhoods like the Haight-Ashbury or North Beach or Hayes Valley already have built in strong protections for the small business sector, but there are many other neighborhood commercial corridors that really need to maintain their quirky but also magnificent character with unique, really diverse, independently owned small businesses. I think when we look at the data from the planning department's report, it shows that formula retail controls that we implemented 10 years ago to today, there's a lot of loopholes, and the vast majority of the chain stores that apply to go into neighborhoods are approved. About three-quarters or more are approved. And right now we're trying to look at how to support the small businesses and give more neighborhood notice. But I think the planning department and our office has been working very closely together to look at that question of should we increase the number of chain stores to from 12 to 20, but also how to implement an economic impact report if a chain store wants to go into a neighborhood, but to use that economic impact report to look at how it's going to impact the smaller, for example, pet stores that are around it if it's a large chain pet supply store.
I want to make sure I give our listeners a chance to get on the conversation. Please feel free to call in 866-733-6786. Email us forum@kqed.org. You can also find us on Facebook or tweet us. We are @KQED Forum. What do you think about the balance of formula retail, big chain stores, big box stores in San Francisco versus the balance of local stores, mom and pop shops, independents? What's the right balance, and how do we know when we've got it right or perhaps if we've got it wrong? Speaking of whether we've got it right or wrong, let's continue the conversation with two people with opposing views on this matter. Here in studio is Kathleen Dooley. She is president of the North Beach Business Association and a commissioner on the city's Small Business Commission. Kathleen, good morning.
Good morning.
Also on the phone is Dee Dee Workman. She is the Director of Public Policy for the San Francisco Chamber of Commerce. The organization supports revising the city's formula retail rules to make room for small and large retailers. Dee Dee, welcome.
Thank you.
Kathleen, what is your top concern with the proposals as they stand right now?
Our top concern is the increase, raising the threshold to 20 from 12. We feel that since the majority have been approved, the CU system is working.
The conditional use system, the permits for formula retail.
Yes, are working, and we see no need to increase that. It just allows another amount of businesses to come in, chains that are not necessarily in need of a special break.
So it's about letting the definition of formula retail get broader. You feel that creates, what, more encroachment on local businesses?
Yes, it does. And we don't understand that if we were told that this was because small chains like Super Duper were not happy that they would have to go through the conditional use process. Our view is if they're a popular local chain, they're going to go through that process very quickly and be approved. But we feel very strongly that this process needs to be preserved as it was in Prop G at 12 and not increased to 20.
So it sounds like your concern is really that it is not as onerous as some businesses make it out to be. If you're a good business, people want you, you file the permits, you go through the meetings and the hearings, people say, I like it, no, I don't, and you come through it anyway.
Yeah, we had even suggested to the planning department, I worked on a project last year with the planning commission that said if you were a small business that was not unpopular, you could go through what we called a fast track system, which would allow you to go more quickly through this process. And we suggest that would be the proper place for these businesses that are between 12 and 20.
D.D. Workman, paint me a picture, if you would, please. If we don't make these kinds of reforms, as has been suggested, what do you think could become of San Francisco's economy, particularly its retail economy? What's really at stake for the bottom line of San Francisco?
Well, I think what's at stake and what's been kind of missing from this conversation is the impact to consumers, those of us who live here and shop here and visit here and raising families here. It's really important to have a balance of all kinds of retail in our neighborhood commercial districts so that people who can afford to shop in independent stores that may be more expensive than the chains, people who can afford to do that are able to do that. People who can't afford it may need to go and shop at the larger national chains if they find that the same products are less expensive. I think a lot of people in the city are struggling, you know, financially right now, and so I think most people shop at a variety of places. Sometimes they go to their local independent retailer because they love them, and sometimes they go to the national retailers because they can save a little bit of money. So I think it's really important for the consumer that they have a balance of retailers that they can choose from so that they can continue to shop here and raise their family here and buy food that's affordable and buy other products that are affordable. I think, you know, what ensures a sustainable, thriving commercial district is that kind of balance, both small and large and local and national retailers.
But I guess I'm a little naive to the way that retail works. I mean, I live in Silicon Valley now, so I've been taught that the days of brick and mortar are done, and the days where a big company needs to be in a big box retail location to do business are rapidly, you know, going away. I mean, if you take the example of Jack Spade, yes, Jack Spade did not build in the Mission, but you can buy them at Nordstrom, and there are three Nordstroms in San Francisco. So there's always a way for a large enough company to penetrate the market. I mean, are these storefronts, these physical retail locations, really worth kicking up that much of a fuss?
Well, I mean, think about that. You know, there are retail locations in our neighborhood commercial districts that sit vacant for months and years and years. And, you know, why is that? Well, because they're really large. They're often built, you know, or were built on corners, you know, to have kind of that prominent location. But small independent retailers can't afford to go into them. They often can't afford to do the build out that's required, you know, the restoration that might be required. So those kinds of locations really are made for the larger national retailer. And yes, there are still larger retailers that want to go into the neighborhood commercial districts. I mean, take Walgreens, for example. They have pharmacies that people use. Not everybody are buying their medications online. In fact, I would say, you know, elderly people who live in our neighborhoods, they love to you know, go to their neighborhood Walgreens. It gets them out of the house, maybe gives them a little bit of a walk. They actually like that human contact.
So it's just that slice of life aspect of it, the day-to-day life of a city.
Well, not just slice of life, but this is actually neighborhood-serving services. These are services people really need. So there will always be a need for the larger retailers in our neighborhood commercial district. But that's not to say that there should only be larger retailers. I go back to the need for balance. I'm also from the Midwest. You know, I live in San Francisco for a reason. I'm raising a family here for a reason. So I understand the issues. And what strikes me is that we all want the same thing.
Well, let me put that to Kathleen Dooley. Do we really all want the same thing, that balance between big and small? Does that make sense to you?
I think that we already have that balance with what's in place right now, and I feel that increasing the number of formula retail chain stores to go in without any introspection or input from the neighborhood is a mistake. There are so many unforeseen consequences not mentioned here, which are landlords start holding out for higher rents because they'd rather rent to a chain. They feel that that's a better way to make more money. And that starts forcing out the smaller businesses that already exist.
Supervisor Marr, let me ask you about that in terms of just the way that we redevelop San Francisco, the way that we reimagine parts of the city. It seems like, Mr. Ram from the planning department, maybe John Ram, maybe you want to chime in on this too. It seems like there are certain aspects of the city, particularly the mid-market corridor, that seem ripe for that kind of a big retail, you know, solution. Like, that makes sense in the big downtown corridor. Maybe in the neighborhoods, not so much. But it seems like there are certain parts of the city, maybe, that just kind of make sense to find one big anchor retailer and then tag other retailers onto it. But for the character of the city of San Francisco, how do we navigate that, Supervisor?
I think I was just going to add that I think where the planning department and my office, especially with my aide Nick Pagalato, work on this, we're about 90% to 95% in agreement on what kind of changes need to be made to modernize our law. But I did want to just say that there's a crisis in communities right now with the economic boom and the hyper-gentrification going on. Many small businesses are struggling like hell right now. And to Dee Dee Workman's point, I do think San Francisco consumers really are concerned about their bottom line, but we're talking about mom-and-pop small businesses. They make up the unique, diverse merchant corridors in our neighborhoods. There's a huge unfair advantage for a Walgreens. They go in wherever they want to neighborhoods for a Walgreens to go in as opposed to a smaller pharmacy. Our improvements to the formula retail chain store law really helped to give more neighborhood notification. It does stop chain stores from going in, but it clears up ambiguity. It even creates more uses, because right now banks were being allowed to go in without being considered for formula retail, and we changed that individually. But now check cashing places, gyms, curbs, women's fitness places, there's a lot that aren't being covered by our existing law. So ours modernizes it. It protects the mom-and-pop small businesses, and it sets up a neighborhood process that's more fair for the small businesses and maintaining the character of neighborhoods.
We're discussing the future of formula retail in San Francisco with San Francisco Supervisor Eric Marr, the city's planning director John Rayum, Dee Dee Workman of the San Francisco Chamber of Commerce, and Kathleen Dooley of the city's Small Business Commission. We're glad to see you lined up on the phones, 866-733-6786. Let's go to a caller now, Sarah in San Francisco. Sarah, good morning.
Good morning. Hi, I love Phil's Coffee. I'm a San Francisco resident. I kind of see them as a local success story for a San Francisco small business. So don't we want to see policies that encourage our small local business rather than discourage them from succeeding? It seems like lifting the number of locations to 20 from 12 would really help our local small businesses grow in the city.
Let me put that to Kathleen Dooley. Kathleen, what do you make of that?
I think that any popular chain like Phil's is going to have no problem going through the conditional use process. So we don't really think that we need to open that up universally just to accommodate a few small local businesses. We believe that they will find they are welcome in neighborhoods that they want to go into. So we feel that this is too broad a change for just encouraging a few small businesses that are based locally.
Does it create a problem, though, when you reach businesses on that threshold where they go from being, you know, scrappy local chains to formula retail, how they navigate that? I mean, Phil's, according to a report from the planning department, has 14 locations, at least as of the release of this report. When you get to that point, you fall into a whole other area of the law, which could potentially create quite the headache.
Well, you know, by that time, you are now at a point where you've chosen to be a business that has a larger economy of scale and can well navigate the CU process. And also, if there's no opposition from the neighborhood, that will push it through very quickly.
Let's
Josh,
take
– oh, mind if I weigh in on
oh,
that?
Oh, please. Please
bit.
Do.
I think Kathleen's right, and I think we all are, whether or not we like to admit it sometimes, we all have the same goal here, which is to create this balance here. And I think, you know, we're the only large city in the country that does this, and we have a situation where 12% of the retailing in San Francisco is formula retail, and nationally it's 32%. So I think we've done a good job of creating a reasonable balance. I think the issue that we have with folks like Phil's or Blue Bottle or SF Soup Company, who are in that 11 to 20 range, is that they are still a relatively small business, and the conditional use approval process takes 6 to 8 months. And it is an expensive process, and they are signing a lease on property and paying rent for 6 to 8 months that they don't have no income. And I think it's, in our view, you know, raising the number, number one, balances some of the more restrictive proposals that we are putting in, that we are proposing, but it also has the side effect of helping these still relatively small companies like Phil's, which I would argue is quite a distinct company from something like Starbucks or McDonald's. And that's I think we need to be clear here that the process, while it works in 95% of the cases, it does take time and cost money.
We're coming up on a break shortly, but I want to read an email. Frank writes, how can corporate chains stimulate the local economy when they send their profits out of San Francisco? The corporate chains are parasites, seeking profit only and doing damage everywhere they go. They seek to undermine the democratic process however they can to achieve their unethical purpose. Dede Workman of the Chamber of Commerce, it's a pretty strong assessment of the chain stores. How would you respond to that briefly before we go to a break?
I think you have to look at the jobs that chains create in San Francisco. They hire far more people than the independents do. They have a far more diverse staff. They charge less for their products, and they contribute more charitably broadly across the city.
Now, I think the counterargument to that, and I'm not a retailer, but I'm guessing the counterargument to that is, well, if the city made it easier for small businesses to do business, we wouldn't have this problem, and we wouldn't have to rely on the big boxes to come in and prop up the economy.
Well, I'm not sure the big boxes are propping up the economy necessarily, but I would certainly agree with you that it should be easier for small businesses. I mean, the Chamber, most of our 1,500 members are small businesses, so we're a small business advocate, and I think anything that can be done to help small businesses survive and thrive here is good, and raising the formula retail threshold from 11 to 20 will do that.
Gotcha. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll continue this conversation on the other side, discussing the future of formula retail in San Francisco. Supervisor Eric Marr, San Francisco Planning Director John Rahm, Dede Workman of the Chamber of Commerce, and Kathleen Dooley of the Small Business Commission. Stay put, please. Please feel free to keep calling in. We'll go back to more of your questions and thoughts after the break. 866-733-6786, and please email us forum@kqed.org. I'm Joshua Johnson, sitting in for Michael Krasny. Glad you're with us. This is Forum from KQED Public Radio. This is Forum. I'm Joshua Johnson. We're discussing the future of formula retail in San Francisco with Supervisor Eric Marr, the city's planning director John Rahm, Dede Workman of the San Francisco Chamber of Commerce, and Kathleen Dooley of the city's Small Business Commission. Please do join the conversation. Email us forum@kqed.org or call us 866-733-6786. You can also find us on Facebook or tweet us. We are at KQED Forum. John Rahm, let me ask you about the report on formula retail that came out a few months ago. Anything in that report about the current state of how San Francisco deals with these businesses, anything about that surprise you? Were there any big takeaways?
I think the most relevant kind of overall takeaway from the report was that the system is basically working, in that it's creating a balance, in that it's allowing small businesses to thrive where they can, and it's allowing some formula retail businesses to come in where the community and the Planning Commission feel that they're appropriate. You know, I think that I think the 12% number is a good indication of that. And I should point out, you know, that the downtown area has no controls on formula retail, which is so there's been this longstanding balance, if you will, between the downtown and the neighborhood districts, which is what has been in place since this started. The downtown was not restricted in formula retail, but the neighborhood commercial districts have been, and since 2006.
So the rules are basically working, but they're due for some tweaks. Is that it?
That's right. That's right. And that's what we're proposing, both a combination of making them somewhat more restrictive by expanding the definition to include stores that are have more than 20 internationally, not just in the U.S., and at the same time increasing the number to allow a little more flexibility and to allow that balance that I spoke about.
Supervisor Moore, let me ask you the more – I don't know if this is a more nihilistic question, but – people tend to vote with their wallets. They vote with their pocketbooks. I mean, there are certain places where, you know, a big box store opens up and it does quite well. You know, we shop at Safeway and people will drive out of town to go to Target in Daly City and Colma, where there are two Targets facing each other on opposite sides of the highway, and they shop at both of them. And then some places these stores don't work. You know, the Fresh and Easy that opened in Bayview opened and didn't do terribly well. Why is it not enough to just let people vote with their pocketbooks? If San Franciscans are serious about preserving the character of these businesses, why not just allow the market to decide?
Well, I think authors like Stacy Mitchell, who's the author of Big Box Swindle, organizations like SF Loma that's analyzed the impacts of big box stores, for example, I think it shows that, and from our own study from the Planning Department, that when we have a formula retail chain store controls in place in San Francisco, it allows big box stores and chain stores to go in where neighborhoods feel like they're getting goods and services that they need. So there's certain locations that are built for big box malls, for example, like on Geary and Masonic. There's the old Sears Mervyn's that now is the Target. But many neighborhoods want that. But I think the crisis going on with small businesses right now is really an issue that I've taken up with a coalition that expects to strengthen our policies. But I did want to say that Frank's email from earlier saying that a big box store, for example, is taking its profits and investing them elsewhere, whereas a small business, according to SF Loma's analysis and others, they're putting the money back into neighborhoods. And I think San Franciscans realize that at a gut level, that it's not just about buying products for more cheaply, but it's supporting small businesses because they make our neighborhoods unique. And John Ram's point from the study that San Francisco has 12% formula retail, whereas other cities like New York might be 30-some-odd percent, I think that's a good statement that San Francisco wants to preserve its mom-and-pop, unique, independently-owned stores like bookstores and hardware stores because they make San Francisco what it is. Tourists love that. I think the neighborhoods that have small businesses and a mix of some chain stores really love that character of diversity within our neighborhoods.
Let's go back to the phones, 866-733-6786. Ben from San Francisco has been waiting very patiently. Ben, good morning.
Yes, thank you. I would have one question for the panel here, and that is, we all know that when competition is limited, that prices tend to increase and service tends to go down. So I live in a neighborhood in San Francisco, and in my neighborhood, Pet Food Express was not allowed to go in, and two of the local pet stores led the fight to keep them out, and they have very, very, very high prices, quite higher than most other pet stores in and around the city, even and especially the chains. So my concern as a consumer is that we lose by not letting people vote with their pocketbooks and letting basically existing businesses lobby the city and their supervisors to keep certain specific businesses out, which I think is frankly unfair business practices. So I'm curious as to how the supervisor, Supervisor Marr, and the planning director, how they feel that consumers win in this situation when prices will increase as a result of less choice for consumers.
Thanks, Ben. Supervisor?
Yeah, I would say on issues like pet stores, it's an extremely unfair advantage for these huge pet store chains. They have a buying power that can undercut such long-standing smaller businesses. I'll just say that I think for pricing, and we've analyzed when a big box pet store has gone into neighborhoods, their prices start low when they first displace the smaller businesses. The smaller businesses over time may be displaced because they're just priced out. But then the big box stores start to raise their prices when they know they don't have any competition. But I think looking at the broader, longer-term issues of how a food retail big box store goes in, I think we did another analysis from the budget analyst office. There's estimates that thousands of jobs would be lost because it's eliminating a lot of the smaller businesses around it. And then the larger chains may adjust their prices up once they've eliminated the competition. And there's a lot of good studies on how that's happened in other cities as well.
We're getting a lot of great comments by email. Let me run through a few of them. Melissa writes, I feel that the argument against formula stores is a bit disingenuous. While the argument is to keep the quote-unquote spirit of San Francisco alive through small local businesses, San Francisco seems not to have ever met a developer it didn't like. Ugly new high-rises are emerging every day, robbing the city of its charm. Why the attack on chain stores? Bill from Sebastopol writes, chain stores suck the life out of communities across the nation. They flood the market with cheap products and send profits to corporate offices instead of back to the community. Chain stores have dumbed down America. Lori writes, instead of a number, why not make a rule that if the business has the charter store in San Francisco, it can expand? Alternately, if the business has 50% of its stores in San Francisco, it can continue to build up. Interesting idea. And Scott writes us from Costa Rica, from the city of Cartago. He writes, there are other costs of formula retailing not being discussed here. Here in Central America, formula retailing by international corporations has turned every large city in the region into a copy of every other. You can't tell from the looks of the signage on the street whether you are in Panama City or Managua or Tegucigalpa. They all look the same, homogenized and pasteurized into Spanish-speaking suburbs of Miami or L.A. Is that what San Francisco wants for itself? Thanks for all the comments and questions. Keep them coming. Let's go back to the phones now. Paula in San Francisco. Paula, good morning.
Good morning. In fact, I was yesterday at the I met with Supervisor Eric Marr. I own Chile Lindo, and we were discussing a different subject. I just want to point out, as the owner of Chile Lindo on 16th and Cap, that a small business contributes in ways that most people don't even realize. As a small business owner, I am constantly giving quarters to people that have to park on the sidewalk. I am always providing hot water for the homeless that walk up with a cup of ramen. They take my napkins. I am constantly answering to phone calls for people that maybe have an emergency or someone in the neighborhood that they need to reach. It's a network. I provide employment locally, and I usually buy locally, and I also work out of La Victoria Bakery. That kind of network takes years and years and years to build and provides a support system to the community that is not possible by a big company that comes from outside where there's no direct relationship with the community that has helped build this business over the years.
Hey, Paula, I want to have Dee Dee respond to what you're saying, and I know I got to move the conversation along, but I just want to ask you one quick question, Paul, if I may. I know exactly where you are, right near 16th and Mission, so that whole area is just changing super duper fast. How much hope do you have for your business that you will still be there 10 years from now?
I have been on the verge of closing every 6 months.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going through an eviction for a year and a half of my personal home because of you know, going back and forth between lawyers, whether I was going to be able to stay in my home, which is rent control, which allows me to run the business. And the business, as a small business, yes, my sales go up, but so do the costs, and the costs go up year per year.
So it's looking pretty rough, I guess.
What's bringing in.
So it's looking pretty rough, I guess.
It's very, very challenging.
Yeah.
And examples like Phil's Coffee, which are really remarkable, I think happen less and less. And what the comment is that what is the incentive for a business to want to grow? Well, what is my incentive to want to open another space in the community if I have to pay rent for 8 months to a year before I can open the doors of that new retail space?
You know, Paula, let me put that to Dee Dee Workman. I really appreciate you sharing your thoughts on this, Paula. Thank you very much. And I saw Kathleen Dooley nodding her head near the end of what Paula was saying. Dee Dee Workman, what do you make of what Paula's going through?
Well, I really appreciate her sharing her concerns. And I'll just repeat again that I think, you know, the city has to do everything it can to ensure that small businesses can thrive in San Francisco. I know how difficult it is for them. I have small business people in my family, hardware store people, actually. But I really was taken by what she said about how long it takes to get the permits, that she says 6 months to a year. And I think that it is closer to a year for conditional use permits. And I think what the planning department legislation will do by raising the threshold from 11 to 20 is allow businesses like Paula's, like Books Inc., which I believe has 11 locations right now, to be able to grow modestly. We're not talking about large retailers. You can't compare Phil's Coffee to Starbucks, you know, but it allows them to grow modestly so that they don't have to put in the money and the time. And don't forget, you know, they're paying rent on these spaces with no guarantee they're going to get the permit because they have to go through the conditional use permit process. So with no guarantees. So it is, I would completely agree with her that it's very important that small businesses be given the ability to grow.
Kathleen Dooley, it sounds like there are bits and pieces of the current formula retail rules that everyone sees room for reforming. I don't want, you know, for you listening, if you're new to this issue, I don't want to make it sound like this is David v. Goliath, that is two sides that are completely black and white at odds with each other. It seems like, Kathleen, and correct me if I'm wrong, there's a little piece of the formula retail chain store thing that everyone seems to feel needs reform. It's just there's disagreement on what to reform and how.
Yes, there is. It's everyone agrees in, that it takes too long to get a conditional use permit. But I feel that is all about the planning department's need to streamline and be more efficient on these conditional use permits and perhaps figure out a way to, if a conditional use permit is not opposed, to make that move more quickly. I don't think that just opening up the gates to allow more in with no oversight is the way to go, because we're not just talking big box stores here. We're talking every chain that would be increased to 20. And
banks and health food stores and restaurants and bars and anything.
Right. But, you know, so I wanted to say, being from North Beach, we don't allow any chains. We have virtually no vacancies. Businesses do very well. And our neighborhood is extremely concerned because they don't want to see it opened up to 20, because local or not, we don't want to see a Phil's Coffee. It is, if you walk by, it still looks like a chain, and that is something that doesn't fit in every neighborhood corridor. If it does, the neighbors will be supportive, and it will be able to be put in.
Well, but, I'm from South Florida, where everything looks like a chain. And to me, you know, living here, looking at Phil's Coffee or Blue Bottle, which technically would be a chain, that looks like a Bay Area original. That looks pretty unique. I mean, isn't it a little presumptuous to presume what I, as a consumer visiting North Beach, will think about Phil's Coffee? Maybe I'd like to try Phil's Coffee there. What's wrong with having one?
Well, you know, North Beach is an iconic neighborhood that is visited by internationally. It's known for its ambiance, and we believe very firmly that chains do not add to our ambiance. And That's just the way it is, and we are not hurting for business. And we just feel that our community should have that ability to weigh in and decide the destiny of our very particular neighborhood corridor, and that should be true of all the neighborhood corridors.
So you should be able to say, we know that this would be a nice thing to have, maybe, but we don't want it, so we won't have it.
Right. You know, we can say we already have like 50 coffee shops in North Beach. We don't need any more.
866-733-6786. Eric in San Francisco. Eric, good morning.
Good morning.
What's on your mind?
Well, this kind of follows up on that last point from the North Beach neighborhood. I mean, it's great that there are no vacancies or very few vacancies there, but I see a lot of vacant storefronts kind of around the rest of the city that seem too big for small businesses and can probably only fit like a larger store, so maybe one of those big box retailers or just a larger retailer. But they sit vacant because there's some pushback from the neighborhoods or some dissent or the long kind of permitting process. Isn't it better to fill those spaces rather than live with the blight of these vacant storefronts all over?
That is a worthwhile question. Kathleen, let me put that back to you. What about those blighted spaces?
Well, I think that some of these large stores are appropriate for chains. And we certainly have no opposition to that. The only time, for example, in my knowledge was when Pet Food Express wanted to open on Lombard. There were more than two pet stores already in place. There were about 11. And, you know, part of getting conditional use process says it's necessary and desirable. And the fact that it was already a neighborhood that was well served, plus there was a Pet Food Express less than a mile away, made it that particular empty space not appropriate for the pet store, but perhaps would have been is appropriate for a hardware store, which they don't have. So it's not like every chain store is a bad chain store. It's just that you know, they need to not be something that's already duplicating the neighborhood services and basically putting 10 stores out of business in order to open one.
You know what, John Ram of the planning department, I want to put that point to you just so people understand what is, by all accounts, a complex and lengthy process. Mm-hmm. Talk about that for a second. You got 11 pet stores. Let's take the specific example. You got 11 pet stores on a block. Another one says, hey, I want to open a pet store here. Once that happens, talk to me about how the planning commission thinks it through.
Well, the commission looks at all of those issues. It looks at the concentration of the total number of and concentration of all types of formula retail, and then it also looks at the concentration of like businesses or businesses that sell similar products. And I think an important point that hasn't come up is the visual impacts that we're very concerned about. I think part of the reason and that we are concerned about formula retail stores in many neighborhoods is the visual impacts of chain stores that tend to be uniform, just like the gentleman from Costa Rica was talking about, where they all look and feel the same. That's also a big issue and one of the reasons that we are proposing some better controls on the look and feel of formula retail stores when they are approved. So all those factors go into the Planning Commission's decision, into our recommendation to the Planning Commission, and then their final decision on how they on deciding about formula retail.
All right, we're coming up on the top of the hour. I want to try to get to some more phone calls. Dorothy in San Francisco. Dorothy, good morning.
Good morning.
What's on your mind?
One thing that's happened is sometimes the larger chains will acquire smaller chains. The La Boulange chain started out as local, and they were recently acquired by Starbucks, which, of course, increases the, you know, the Starbucks octopus by however many La Boulange restaurants there are. And I think that's something that really needs to be looked at and watched and guarded against.
All right, Dorothy, thanks for your comment. Kathleen in Oakland. Kathleen, good morning, and thank you for your patience.
Hi, thank you. You know, I'm looking at this from more of a philosophical level. It sounds like we're all in favor of keeping San Francisco unique, but the status quo seems to really limit personal and consumer choice, which flies in the face of fundamental San Francisco ideology. And I'm just wondering how the opponents of changing formula retail standards in San Francisco would respond to that.
Kathleen, what do you make of that?
I think that the voters clearly made their voices made in Proposition G. And since almost every supervisor in the last year has come up with a piece of legislation to actually tighten up formula retail restrictions, clearly the people of San Francisco, and I believe if put to a vote, would say that they are actually in favor of keeping things at least as they are, if not making more restrictions. Just think about the furor that's been the last year over Jack Spade, Athleta, which is owned by The Gap. I think San Franciscos in general do want to preserve their character.
John Ram, let me put that previous question to you about what happens when a local approved chain gets bought by a larger one. Does the planning process have any kind of provisions for that?
That's been a big point of discussion, Joshua. The whole issue of ownership. La Boulange, as it turns out, was already a formula retail store when Starbucks bought them. They were over 11, but this has also come up with respect to other businesses. And because part of the key definition of formula retail is the look and feel of the store. While La Boulange was bought by Starbucks, when you go to La Boulange, it doesn't look like a Starbucks or feel like a Starbucks. So we believe that legally, and I think with respect to ownership, it's important not to base our decisions on ownership. We think that I feel strongly that sets us up for some very slippery slope in terms of how we judge who we approve projects for if we base it on who owns them. It's more important for us to look at the visual character, the types of business that it is relative to other similar business in the district and those sorts of issues.
Let's go back to the phones. Luis in San Francisco. Luis, good morning.
Good morning. This is Luis. I work with the Mission Economic Development Agency here in San Francisco. And I just wanted to comment that I think to me the formula retail is the lowest common denominator. Just kind of wonder how many more Walgreens do we need in San Francisco? And I think the other part of it that is interesting, that the real estate argument about vacant spaces, I don't know that it holds a lot of water, because right now real estate is not a problem in San Francisco. It hasn't been for a long time. But I think the other problem is that it's not only about having a unique set of shops, which I think is really important for San Francisco, but also to make sure that they're affordable and that culturally relevant. I think if you look at Valencia between 24th and 16th Street, most of those shops right now on Valencia Street are not affordable to, they're unique, but they're not affordable to a majority of the folks in the Mission District. So I think we need to actually not only weaken the formula retail, but actually go further. But I think in order for that to happen is to create a strong vision for this commercial corridors. And I'm wondering from the panelists, who sets that vision and what is that vision? Because I think that
we're running up on the top of the hour. I really hate to cut you off, but we got to get in a few more comments. Let me put that to the panel. Thank you for your comment. And I'm going to try to loop into that comment, a comment from a listener in terms of the vision for what we want these corridors to look like. One listener writes, why is employment diversity left out of this discussion? How many blacks or Hispanics do you see employed in, since it was mentioned, North Beach, as compared to Macy's in Union Square? Just wondering. Supervisor Marr, I'm sure there are certain parts of San Francisco, maybe Bayview, Hunters Point, that would really, really love to have a few big box stores and the jobs that come with them.
Yeah, and the policy that I'm proposing, that's 95% in coordination with the planning department, is about maintaining a proper balance. It's not a ban. So it allows chain stores to go in when they meet the needs of neighborhoods. But I think many neighborhoods are feeling they're being overrun by chains, and the data shows that the vast majority, almost all the approvals, go the way of the chain stores. Do we want Chili Lindo and small businesses in neighborhoods to remain versus opening up of Taco Bell's? Do we want Green Apple bookstores versus Borders? I think that's the question. And I think, again, diversity is critical, and small businesses are right now facing tremendous unfair advantage from lots of larger chains that are coming into neighborhoods. I think working with the planning department, there's a couple of rough edges that we're trying to work through on with a task force to look at how the planning department will implement. But I think ultimately policy needs to come from neighborhoods and small businesses that are about maintaining the soul of the city. And right now, with the economic crisis we're facing, this is good policy that is based on balance and improving our formula retail chain store controls.
Well, Supervisor, we are almost out of time for this hour, but let me ask you and John Rayum what is next, what the next steps are for this process. Supervisor, what's next?
Well, there's the Planning Commission will be discussing the two proposals, the Planning Department and then the one that I proposed. There's a number of individual pieces of legislation from some of my colleagues as well, but I'm hoping there's a vigorous debate, and I'm really appreciative of John Ram and his staff for their economic analysis of small businesses and chain stores, the 1,250 chain stores, and really appreciate the cooperation from their office as well.
And John, I'm sure you have no lack of feedback on how to reform these rules, and of course, no lack of conditional use permits for more formula retail waiting to be dealt with.
That's right. And I also want to thank Supervisor Maher and his staff. They've been great to work with on this. And it's really good to kind of compare and contrast our points of view on this. It does go, as the supervisor said, to the Planning Commission next week for their recommendation, since it does involve change in legislation and then would go on to the Board of Supervisors. So it is likely that changes will be recommended by the Planning Commission next week, and then further changes would probably happen as it gets to the board. So the final version may be something a little different than what we see today in both our proposed version as well as the supervisor's version.
And is that the best way for people to weigh in if they have more reactions to this with the Planning Commission and with the supervisors?
Certainly weigh in at the hearings at both bodies, but also write us an email, give us a call. We're happy to take people's comments on this.
Gotcha. Well, this has been a very informative hour on what is clearly a very hot topic for a lot of people in town. Thanks very much to all of our guests. San Francisco Supervisor Eric Maher, thank you very much for talking to us.
Thank you.
Planning Director John Rayum. John, I appreciate the insights. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Dee Dee Workman of the San Francisco Chamber of Commerce. Dee Dee, thanks for sharing your perspective.
Thanks very much.
And here in studio, Kathleen Dooley of the City's Small Business Commission. Kathleen, I'm glad you joined us today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Forum is produced by Judy Campbell and Irene Noguchi. Our engineer is Danny Bringer. Our engagement producer is Amanda Stupine with online support from David Marks. Our senior editor is Dan Zoll. Our interns are Leslie Chang, Kathy Shield, Hannah Kingsley Ma, Charlie Zaharoff, Eric Nygaard, and Kaylin Dakin. I'm Joshua Johnson. Thank you so much for listening. This is Forum from KQED Public Radio.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schremm and Maria Minetti Schremm, founders of Clos Pegase Winery, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.